So before we begin, I would just like to make a humble request that there's a lot of space right here. If everyone could please come forward, then I know some of you really hate when I say that. But I'm begging you, with the little bit of humility that I have, to please make use of this space. Because there are many, many devotees who will come in, especially near to the RT time. So we can make use of all the space. Goes for the men also. You can come right up. Hare Krishna. Shrimati Radharani ki jai. Shivarastami Mahamahotsav ki jai. Appearance day of Shrimati Radharani ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. So we'll start by chanting Jai Radha Madhav. Hopefully everyone knows the song. This bhajan. This was a bhajan that Srila Prabhupada used to sing before every class. And he described that this bhajan is like a window into the spiritual world. And if you understand the translation and the words, then you can see that this bhajan reveals all of the different relationships that one can have with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, in the spiritual world. And if you dive deep into the meaning of this bhajan, then so much of the spiritual world can be opened up and revealed. So we ask everyone to please join in and sing with a sincere and open heart. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopijana Vala Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Varachari Yamuna Tira Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Go be Janamala Bhagavan.
Rajadharanjana Ramunati Ramanachari Ramunati Ramanachari Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. BBT founder Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Pramsekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhana ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Jamuna Mai ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Their most beautiful lordship, Sri Sri Radha Nandanishwara ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Agiriraj Maharaj ki jai. Sri Sri Gornitai ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai, Briham Madanga Transital Book Distribution Ki Jai, Nitai Gauda Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, Hare Krishna, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the Radha Krishna Temple, ISKCON, London. It's a great honor and privilege to be here with all of you on this very auspicious occasion. I would like to express my gratitude and appreciation to all of you for choosing to come and be here on this very auspicious day. Some of you I'm seeing, you've been here since 4:30 this morning, maybe even earlier, making it a full day of celebrations for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani. So thank you all very much for being here. My name is Jaini Tai Das, and I'm exceptionally disqualified to be sitting here, especially on this occasion, making some attempt to speak about the glories of Srimati Radharani, or to even speak on this auspicious occasion. We were hoping that someone else, like His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj, who's just now leaving, might speak, but he is otherwise previously engaged. There are also many senior devotees here present. And before I speak anything, I would like to first seek blessings from all of these great souls that you see fit to bestow your mercy upon me so that I can speak something bona fide and relevant. Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to recite the Mangala Charanam prayers. Recently when Mother Jamuna was here in London, she shared one pastime with us, or one realization that she had had, where Srila Prabhupada had made a comment to one of his disciples, Govinda Dasi, and she was, he had offered her a service to do, and she had commented that she wasn't very qualified to do that service. And Srila Prabhupada had remarked back to her that simply before you begin anything, just chant these Mangala Charanam prayers. And if you chant them sincerely, then Krishna will hear you and he will help. So I need a lot of help. So if all of us chant very sincerely, then Krishna will hear and he will also help you. Om Agana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai. So So I just wanted to begin by reading a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, which is the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Srila Prabhupada described as the PhD of spiritual life. Anyone here has a PhD? Okay. I don't either. I'm not raising my hand. So, but we can all get a PhD in spiritual life simply by, as prescribed by Shukadeva Goswami and the previous acharyas, systematically making our way through Srila Prabhupada's books up to the Chaitanya Charitamrita from Bhagavad Gita and the Acharya's books, Rupa Goswami's books, and the Srimad Bhagavatam onto the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we'll read a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and then discuss a little bit. Radha Krishna Pranaya Victor Ladini Shaktir Asmad Egatamanav Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Vedam Gatao Tau Chaitanya Kyam Prakatam Aduna Tadvayam Chakyam Aptam Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nama Krishna Swarupam. Translation: the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now, these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. So just in that one verse, there's so much. Can anyone remember anything that I just said from that verse? Anyone? Because it's amazing how sometimes when you read something, usually we just, it sweeps over us like a calm, cool sound vibration, but we don't really hear. Did anyone hear anything that, anyone remember anything that I just said from that? Huh?
Not all, but I can remember.
Yes, something.
What you made, like, Radha and Krishna was like spiritually one, and then they just came.
Okay, very nice. Yeah? You wanted to add something?
All I remember is the complexion of the other one.
Okay. So, yeah, this verse is explaining how the transcendental, the affairs of Radha and Krishna are transcendental. That means that they're beyond this world, beyond this material realm, and beyond, for many of us, some of us, most of us, beyond really our actual comprehension or understanding. These affairs are not to be misconstrued or misunderstood as something mundane or something cheap or as something like our own loving affairs or relationships. One man approached Srila Prabhupada and asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, how can this Krishna, how can he be the Supreme Lord? Because he is a debauchee. This man said, Krishna is a debauchee. Anyone knows what a debauchee is? Okay, either you all are very reluctant, but when I speak, you have to be interactive. Okay. Because usually people fall asleep when I speak, so I've learned to keep everyone awake. So anyone knows what the word debauchee means? Yes? Mm-hmm. Kind of, not exactly. A playboy. Yes. Who said that? Oh, Sandy. Imagine that. Yeah. We won't go there. So, yeah, like that, a bit of a playboy. Someone who messes with, like a man who may mess with many ladies. So this man said to Srila Prabhupada that how can Krishna be the Supreme Person when he is a debauchee? Why? Because he messes with the wives of married men and performs so many activities. And in this way, this is irreligious, so how can someone who's irreligious be God? And Srila Prabhupada explained that, but he is God, and everything is his energy. So therefore, all of the gopis are already his. And then he said, so sir, are you married? And this man said, yes. And he said, so is that your wife? And he said, yes, it is. And he said, no, it's not. It's Krishna's wife. So actually, you are the debauchee. And the man was flabbergasted. And as Prabhupada so eloquently turned things around, so like this, the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are, let's say, not completely beyond our ability to conceive, but the factuality, the difficulty is that we will try to relate it to something that we can understand. But the love between Radha and Krishna is something far beyond the mundane loving affairs. And then this verse, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I think, if I'm not mistaken, citing Srila Rupa Goswami here, he explains that they're manifested from the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. So the Supreme Lord describes that although Radha and Krishna are originally one, but for the purpose of enjoying, they have become two. Please switch off your mobile phones. There is no need for musical accompaniment in this talk. So originally Radha and Krishna are one, but because the Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna, because he wants to enjoy relationships, then in order to have some relationship, that means there has to be at least two. Does that make sense? Everyone still with me here? Is there anyone who's here for the very first time? Okay, couple. All right. So, like this, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, was originally one, but because he wanted to experience relationships, he divided himself into two. And his internal pleasure potency, his internal potency for enjoyment, manifested as Srimati Radharani. And therefore, Srimati Radharani is the topmost devotee, the topmost friend, the topmost enjoyer of Krishna and giver of enjoyment to Krishna. Now, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, we can see here on the altar, Krishna is the source of all other incarnations, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So from Krishna, all other manifestations of the potency of God manifest, Vishnu, Ram, all of these, Balaram, everything has emanated from him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the source of everything. all material and spiritual worlds, they emanate from me. And then he says that those persons who are wise, those who are intelligent, they accept this fact and they worship me with all of their hearts. They worship me completely. So Krishna is the source of all of these manifestations of the Lord that we know of, Nisringa Bhagavan, Lord Ram, like this. And Srimati Radharani, she is the source of all of his energies. The Supreme Lord is the energetic, and Srimati Radharani is the energy of the Lord. So therefore, wherever there is Narayan, there is Lakshmi. And of course, it's explained that before you would say Narayan, you would say Lakshmi Narayan. Before you would say Ram, you would say Sita Ram. So like this, you would mention the Lord's, and we would say, before we say Krishna, we say Radha Krishna. And before we say Krishna and the Maha Mantra, we say Hare Krishna. So the energy of the Supreme Lord is approached first, before coming to the Supreme Lord. So in this way we can understand that there is a process for approaching the Supreme Lord. Sometimes when groups come, we have lots of university students who come here, and also devotees from different faiths. And of course, in the modern day, there are many, many youngsters. I can say that now because I'm over 40 now. So many youngsters who come, and they have many ideas. And it's always so nice to show them this beautiful altar and say that most people say that God is the all-powerful. He's the most powerful. But that's not our philosophy. And they all begin to think. And I say, and most religions explain that God is a man and he's the most powerful. So God is Krishna and he's the masculine. But our philosophy says that God isn't the most powerful. So, if anyone's phone goes off again, you can sponsor the feast. How about that? But we describe that Krishna, he is so powerful that he is known as Madan Mohan. Anyone has heard of this name before? Madan Mohan? Anyone who's not heard this before? Okay. So some of you are refusing to raise your hands. Who hasn't heard of this? Don't be afraid. Okay. Haven't heard of Madan Mohan. So Madan means, what does Madan mean? Cupid. Everyone knows who Cupid is? You know, the little guy, chubby. He's got the little wings and the bow and arrow, you know, that little bow and arrow. And when his arrows hit you, what happens? You fall in love. Yeah, you know, when one of Cupid's arrows hits you, you kind of feel all tingly inside and you start to giggle. Yeah, you feel something, right? You feel enamored. And whatever it is or whoever it is that you're thinking about, you can't stop thinking about them. So Madan or Cupid, he's very powerful. He can completely be, well, anyone has ever seen someone who is love struck, you see, right? And they're like, and you think, you can't have a conversation with this person. They're just too far gone, right? They're completely enamored. So Cupid is the bewilderer of everyone. He can bewilder everyone with his little arrows. But Krishna is called Madan Mohan. And Mohan means, the attractor. So Cupid is attracting everyone and bewildering them. But Krishna, he attracts Cupid. He's so attractive, so beautiful. He can bewilder Cupid. He can bewilder everyone, and he is. But it's described that he's so magnificent that he can even bewilder Cupid. Not just one Cupid, but... Huh? Koti. Koti Kandarpa. He can bewilder thousands of Cupids. I mean, one Cupid can bewilder us. But Krishna, he can bewilder or attract thousands of Cupids. So that's pretty powerful, right? Who thinks that's pretty powerful? But Srimati Radharani, she also has a name, and her name is Madan Mohan Mohini. So Mohan and Mohini, they're very similar, right? The words. Mohan means to attract, or the attractor. So Mohini means, it's the feminine for Mohan, means she is the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. So who is more powerful? Srimati Radharani. So Krishna, he is the all-powerful, but Srimati Radharani, she's more powerful because of her loving devotional service and dedication to Krishna. So it's so nice when people come, especially because when ladies come, you know, usually, especially those who are in university, they're very much into women's liberation. So this whole God thing, and God's a man, and, you know. So when you say that Krishna's eternal counterpart is a lady, immediately they're like, ooh, that's nice. And then when you say she's more powerful than God, they're like, you better believe it. And you know this. Finally, someone is speaking the truth around here. So they become completely convinced immediately. So like this, Srimati Radharani is Krishna's internal pleasure potency. And she is, because of that, then she therefore has the potential, the possibility, and all the qualification to give the most pleasure to Krishna, to God. Now, Srimati Radharani is the personification of bhakti. Who here has heard this term bhakti? If all of you, at least most of you, don't raise your hand, then you must be in the wrong place. Bhakti. So what does bhakti mean? Someone can tell me what bhakti means? Huh? Loving devotion? Service? Pure devotional service? We have a few different opinions here. Favorable? Positive action in Krishna consciousness. You should be in charge of the Sankirtan party. That's what we're looking for. Anyone else? Anything? What's that? Tapasya. Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada described, most people, when you say the term bhakti, they think bhakti is love, right? Or just devotion. Yeah, anyone has heard that? Like a lot of people, especially amongst the yoga groups, when you say you practice bhakti, they say, oh, bhakti is the yoga of love. So bhakti is the yoga of love. But Srila Prabhupada explained bhakti a little different. He said, because love, usually love is simply an emotion. Like we all know that someone can say, I love you, right? And if you say, I love you, then hopefully it means something. You mean it. You say it with some feeling or emotion. But sometimes we may say, I love you, and it's lacking. So it just becomes like a word. And Srila Prabhupada explained that bhakti is more than love. It's devotional service. He said, because bhakti is actually a verb. It's action. So just like sometimes we've heard that people say, you know, you can tell me you love me, but don't just tell me you love me. You have to show me you love me. Isn't it? Right? Especially from the ladies' side, right? Talk is cheap, right? Don't just say it. You have to prove it with your actions. And actions speak louder than words. So, bhakti, as Prabhupada explained, is devotional service. So that means that we perform activities that are, what was the expression that you used? Favorite positive action in Krishna consciousness. And we perform those actions, and they must be favorable to the practice, to Krishna. They must bring pleasure to Krishna. And these actions and activities, when we perform these actions and activities, this is called bhakti. Our consciousness must be steeped in trying to bring pleasure to Krishna. The difficulty is that, unfortunately, a lot of the time our actions and activities are not very focused on bringing pleasure to Krishna, but they're very much focused on bringing pleasure to, not me, but to ourselves. Is it true? Can we all agree on this, be honest? I'm sure some of you are on very high level, pure platform, where you're always thinking of Krishna and how to bring pleasure to Krishna. Unfortunately, I wish I was on that platform with you. But if we can at least for a moment agree that generally, at least, what should we say, one quarter of our day is spent thinking about ourselves, and the other three quarters is spent thinking about Krishna, right? Is that a safe estimate? Is it the opposite way, you think? We spend a quarter of the day thinking of Krishna? How many is that? 4 into 24 equals 6, right? So 6 hours a day. Who spends 6 hours a day positively acting for Krishna? Anyone? Okay, we're getting into some big trouble here. So then you got, so there's 4 hours, and then 3 times 6 is 18. So that means 18 hours we spend thinking about ourselves, which isn't bad. We have to look after ourselves, but we should look after ourselves for Krishna. Right? Srila Prabhupada explained, yes, of course, and the Bhagavad Gita explains also that we have to be balanced in eating and sleeping and recreation and work. So we have to do all these things. It's not that you can, everyone just stops eating, sleeping, working, doing some recreation, right? Who here has to sleep? Anyone here who doesn't sleep? Okay, I know a couple of people that almost don't sleep. But usually we have to sleep. So Srila Prabhupada explains, so no problem. You should sleep for Krishna. So how do you sleep for Krishna? Everyone's liking this idea, right? Yeah, sleeping for Krishna. I can do that one. I know someone, one person especially, who's thinking, yeah, let's go for that one. I was mostly attracted to Krishna consciousness because I heard that eating became yoga. So eating is yoga. So sleeping for Krishna means that the body, this instrument, has been given to us by the Supreme Lord to be used for serving Him. It needs to have a break, doesn't it? It needs to rest. It needs to become rejuvenated. And when you sleep, it becomes healed so that you can engage in activities for Krishna. So this machine, this body, it requires some amount of rest. So simply before we take rest, you can offer a prayer to the Lord. You know, I think there's even, what is the Krishna, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Right? A simple prayer that we can offer to the Lord, reminding ourselves that actually this body belongs to Krishna. And I'm going to rest it now so that when I wake up in the morning, I can again start to use it in your service. And then when we wake up in the morning, most of us, usually we have to do some bodily activities. Most of us don't just get up out of bed and go to work in our pajamas, right? So you have to clean the body, right? You have to do so many things, brushing your teeth. All these simple activities that appear to be mundane, right? In one sense, they're like, oh, shower. But you can do all of that for Krishna, because this is Krishna's body, and it's good if the body is clean. It needs to be cleaned, so therefore I'm cleaning my body for Krishna. I'm preparing this body to be used in Krishna's service. You see, Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna consciousness is so simple that you could miss it. You can make it so complicated. Oh, it has to be this whole other thing. And, you know, like some, a lot of people I speak to, they're convinced that to practice bhakti on the topmost platform, you must have to take sannyas and give your entire life to Krishna. Which, of course, that's an option. There's nothing wrong with that process. But Krishna didn't speak the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to a sannyasi. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who was a warrior. So he had an occupation. He also was a married man, had a household. He was a prince. And Krishna gave him the topmost knowledge and taught him how to be Krishna conscious. He explained, just do your work as an offering to me. While you're fighting, remember me. Think of me. And in this way, you'll become free from all karmic reactions. So we simply have to, we don't necessarily have to change everything that we're doing. We just, as Prabhupada used to say, you don't have to give anything up, you just need to add one thing. Ours is not a process of subtraction, it's a process of addition. So just add one thing. Once he was speaking with the devotees and was explaining all these things that we consider so valuable, money, family, education, fame, opulence, all of these things. He said the value of all these things is zero. So many zeros. And we're thinking, oh no, so many zeros. What if someone gave you a check with 12 zeros on it? Who would be happy? You would, yeah. At least you got a check, right? He's probably thinking, how many digits are you going to put in front of those zeros? Yeah, he'd put one. He said one and two. But the process is you simply need to put a one in front of all those zeros, and then they have value. And what is that one? That one is Krishna. So you simply have to put that one in front of all of these zeros, and you have value. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. This is the process of bhakti. This is the mood of Srimati Radharani, is that every activity and action that she is performing is for Krishna's pleasure. It's in order to make Krishna happy. It's so amazing that even Srimati Radharani can be upset with Krishna or exhibit man or anger with Krishna, and that still makes Krishna happy. Because their relationship is so amazing, so expert, that even she knows how to make Krishna happy by being angry. So in this way, there's so much to learn from these relationships between Radha and Krishna. And Srimati Radharani being the embodiment of bhakti, and which is devotional service, means that by us performing devotional service, performing activities for Krishna's pleasure, performing our activities and trying desperately to remember Krishna while doing them, eating, we all have to eat. Who here eats? Some people wouldn't raise their hand no matter what question I ask. So everyone has to eat, so how do you connect your eating to Krishna? Huh? You offer your food to Krishna. Eating Govindas. Not advertising, but Govindas is just downstairs, and we have a large, best supply of wonderful food that's been offered to Krishna. And if you sit and honor it, then Srila Prabhupada explained that you can eat your way back to Godhead. I mean, you can try. That might be a more difficult process. But simply, in the workplace, Krishna says what he likes to eat, what he likes to have offered to him. It's very simple. In brief, it just means fruit, vegetables, milk, water, abstaining from meat and things like this. But so simply we just offer to Krishna whatever it is that we're going to have to eat, you offer it to Krishna and you make that connection. And when you make that connection, we should understand that in order to make that connection, that means that because it's devotional service, because there's devotion and we're trying to perform some action, then Srimati Radharani is present in that. She's facilitating all of this, these opportunities to come to Krishna. We go to Krishna, we can't go directly, we have to go through someone, we have to go through the Lord's representatives. And Srimati Radharani, if we can get her favor, then Krishna will look favorably upon us. So in 1973, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture here in London, and at the end of the lecture, he was speaking about Srimati Radharani on Radhastami, and he explained that our mood and meditation should be that we're trying to get Srimati Radharani's attention, and we're trying to get her attention, and we should be praying to Srimati Radharani, please, Srimati Radharani, please tell your Krishna about me. Please tell him to look favorably upon me. And if we can get Srimati Radharani's favor, and if she says to Krishna, hey Krishna, see that one over there? See that devotee of yours? Then Krishna's going to be like, oh, which one? Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, he used to say, and Srila Prabhupada would repeat it, that we shouldn't act in a way that we try to see Krishna, but we should act in a way that Krishna sees us. Like sometimes we see when at 9 o'clock there'll be a queue for the darshan, and sometimes we're pushing and shoving, let me get in there, let me see Krishna first. But how do you think Krishna is going to look upon us if we push our way through the devotees? You think when we come before Krishna, he's really going to be looking at us favorably? No, but if we act in such a way that we encourage the devotees, no problem, Prabhu, you go first. That's okay, you can go. Right? If we act in such a way that Krishna, before we even get to the darshan, he's already seen us. Radharani said, see? He's coming in now. She's just coming. Because darshan doesn't mean that you see Krishna. What does it mean? It means Krishna is seeing you. That's the darshan. It's his, her darshan of us. Not that I'm coming to see Krishna. No, we're giving Krishna the opportunity to see that we're taking our valuable time to come and be here before the Lord. So, does anyone have any questions or comments at this point? Anything? Any corrections? Yes, please. Charlotte, it is? Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, so basically you can try and make all your actions like even working and all these things, if you focus it on Krishna, then you'll be acting out of goodness, the three gunas, and you can make everything the focus of the goodness guna rather than out of ignorance or passion. Is that?
Yeah, kind of. The thing is, if you add the Krishna factor, then really it's beyond goodness. It becomes transcendental. Although we shouldn't necessarily think ourselves transcendental. But if whatever it is that you do for work, all of us here, everyone has some talent, some ability, some skill, some capacity that's been given to us by Krishna. Even if we don't have any skill capacity, even if we completely fluff everything we ever try to do, well, that's a gift that's been given by Krishna. Because sometimes you'd be incredibly amazed how good it is that sometimes we're incompetent, in a sense. Because sometimes when you're very competent, what arises within you? Pride. So when we make a mistake, sometimes it's really good because we become a little humbled. But Krishna has gifted all of us with some talent or some ability and some skill. So whatever it is that we do for work, whether we're an artist, whether we're, we work in the office, or we're a lab technician, or this or that, or a taxi driver, whatever it is that you do, you try to do that as an offering to Krishna. You try to remember Krishna while you're doing it, and you remember that actually it's Krishna who's making this possible. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the ability within man. He's the sole person who gives possibility to anything that we do anyway. In fact, it's so easy to remember Krishna. Everyone take a deep breath. Who here created oxygen? Anyone here? Who here created their lungs? Anyone here created their own lungs, designed the whole mechanism of lungs? Right? They can't even reproduce this now, the great scientific brains. But guess what? Krishna created lungs. And then he created the oxygen. So every time you breathe, you can breathe Krishna in, and you can breathe Krishna out. And Krishna is present in every breath that we take. But the point is that we have to become conscious of Krishna, which means we're Krishna conscious. And it's so simple, but we make it so complicated. So whatever it is that we do, we just got to remember that God, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, has made this possible. Isn't it so simple? And this is ultimately the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And then as soon as we remember Krishna, then there's always some pleasure. There's some ananda in remembering Krishna. Because remembering the personal form of the Lord, immediately there's ananda, there's bliss. Why is that? Because Srimati Radharani is present there, always with Krishna, and she's always giving pleasure. Her desire is to bring as many souls close to Krishna as possible. She's helping to bring everyone back. So by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, we can get the association of Krishna. But it's described to finish this verse before the conch blows, is that Radha and Krishna were originally one, they divided into two, but now they have merged again as one, and they have come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself with the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And he has given the perfection, the perfect process, the Yuga Dharma, for worshipping Radha and Krishna. It doesn't, again, need to be something complicated. The process is so simple that you offer complete puja every time you say Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why? Because Hare is Srimati Radharani, Krishna is Krishna, Hare is Srimati Radharani, and Rama is Krishna, the enjoyer. Radha Ramana, Prabhupada said. Radha Ramana, the enjoyer. In the Maha Mantra, it used to be here, it's over there now. Which is Krishna spoken more times than Hari? Hare? Which is spoken the most times? Hare. Srimati Radharani. So now we get the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna for the pleasure of their lordships and Srimati Radharani on this auspicious occasion. So today, please, when you chant, remember Krishna, remember Srimati Radharani, and pray to them with a sincere heart that in this life we may become devotees and dedicate our time and energy to their service. Jai Srimati Radharani ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Jai Haribol.